Le manda zage de Jesus o jali bebe bebe jandandaria da hazu bebe bebe heja da haya. Le manda zabe bebe beje. Libara zade me Jesus o jali amahandari bebe bebe jege do zarada da hazi bebe bebeha. Lenda raja gadi amahaya ziba haya ro jali manda haya. Tonight we worship you, mighty King. Tonight we worship you, Heavenly Father. Lenda reja baba bahanda zagamia mahaja balideha. Leza li mari. Doja la mazaba baba bali bebe hengeze de ronda li amaja bahaya. Lengandanga haja baba baba rea zadia hazu bahaya. Lingandimi hea. Leja baba haya. Marinde zegedo hoza ria maja bahaya. Linganda za baba henge doja le bahaya. Rimendo za imandia bahaya legedehe. Raza za baba baba. Jibe bebe bebe henge de.
Reso kongonde mende kriya kasaka di raka yazadi jebo di yege di raka yazadi
hezo dalima haya la jabari de
jada maya
in the mind Jesus in the mind le jabari la baba baba the power Spirit, le mangia zabarege doza, li jaba baba bahanga ye zaberege doza, li mandima jaba baba baha, linga rege doza, riba dia maha jabeha, lege azaza dimi henge doza, rabba baba jibe, ya maria la dahaya, jebebe henge doza, li marandi me zabahanda jaga di henge gezo baradeha, li jama baba 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 bahaya rige dedeha, O la jama he daria mandahaya legedeha anta jaha ya manga Baba.
Thank you. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Welcome.
Amen.
Bible study. Hallelujah. I trust we are all well. And
amen.
God has been good to us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Tonight, if we continue in just spirit of prayer, I just want us to read the from Jeremiah 28 verse. We're going to pray a little bit more before we get into the Bible study. Amen. And the word of God reads, I have just posted the verses on the chat. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So tonight, looking at this verse, I just want all of us where we are, in the comfort of our homes, wherever it is you are, to just begin to pray. We want to declare restoration. We want to declare restoration in our church. We want to declare restoration in our lives, in our families, in our businesses, our finances, our health, whatever else that is not listed here that you are desiring or would want to see restoration taking place. We are going to pray. Yeah, the word of God is saying that the yoke was of the king has been broken. So we want to declare over our church, every yoke of the enemy is broken. Whatever tactics of the enemy, it has no power, it has no right, it is not working. That yoke is broken in our families, in our finances, in our marriages, in our relationships, in our workplaces. Whatever yoke that the enemy or whatever trap that the enemy would have thought to put We are praying that it has been broken, and we are speaking restoration. Here on verse 3, we see that the Lord is saying that you will bring back the vessels to the house of the Lord. We want to declare whatever has been stolen in our church, may there be restoration of whatever vessel, be it a financial vessel, be it a financial partner, be it a physical or person, whatever opportunity was for our church. We want to call for that. God, may it be brought back. And we are not taking it for the 2 years, but we are saying let it be so now, as we are praying in agreement together as a church tonight, and we are agreeing as touching that it's bound and it's happening. Let it take place in our church. Let whatever vessel that was meant for you, that is of gold, of high value, maybe that vessel is an opportunity that was stolen from you, we want to pray that God will bring restoration in your life, in whatever area that you are focusing in whatever area that relates to you. And we want to declare that God has broken forth the yoke, any form of yoke. So where you are, just open your mouth and just begin to declare and begin to pray and begin to speak the power of God to be at work. Open your mouth and pray. Hallelujah. Father, we Eriza Limando Zale Baba Haya, Leje Bebe Ereza Haya, Izo Zali Bebe, Lendara
Baba Sata, Yada Baka Sata, Kalamante, Rebeke Sete, Keneme Henge, Rida Baka Saka, Maradabo, Sundorudo, Sata Kalamahang, Rebeke Sete, Keneme Thank you for the anointing that breaks the yoke. The anointing that breaks the yoke. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name.
Pray where you are, fervently prayer. We have a better name.
Benge gede Jaga gado bede. Resoto grode ki amanga de asakati. Jaga gede resoto kuja de kide. Maka ya sashi kide kide. Resoto kuja de kide. Raga gede hege zo de kide kide kide. Resoto mende ya kata ya da. Ya kaba ya soto kuja de kide.
Push. A few more minutes,
please. Oh,
In the name of Jesus, we declare in Jesus' mighty name, Linda Razaga. Linda Randa Zibebeha, Ole Jalalia Bahaya, Lera Dine Zagadoza, Ribebeha, Osha Zabebebe. We declare it's happening now. Tonight, we are declaring an instant miracle, an instant. Randa Zibahaya, Laza, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Le Marisa Zababa. Father, we give you all this. We worship you tonight. Thank you for the and in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your power. We thank you for your hand. In the name of Jesus, we give you all the glory and we give you all the honor tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Father, as we start our Bible study, we pray that God hear our hearts. Let everywhere that will be ministered, let it be seated even in our hearts. Hallelujah, and that it will dwell there and that it will fall on good ground and that it will begin to germinate and produce a thousandfold of results within our lives. We thank you for such a time, oh God, and we thank you that your word is illuminating light unto us, even as we learn today of your word. We give you all the glory and we give you all the honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and all the saints say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome everyone to tonight's Bible study session, and I will be tonight's facilitator. Hallelujah. And we're just going to quickly get into just a recap of what was our take homes from the cell, the Bible study cell that we had last week. With our facilitator, Mrs. Chinyani. So I'm just going to allow you guys to just raise your hand for those that want to contribute on what we did the last week, and then we can go ahead and contribute. Amen. We're just taking a few minutes to give in our take home from last week so that we can go through with our Bible study. I understand some people do have challenges with our load shedding at the moment, and others will be getting into a load shedding at 8 o'clock. So we want to try today at least to be a bit fast, to be on time, so that we can work with the batteries that people have, as well as those maybe that might not have metric when we are done. So I'm opening this to the church. For those that would want to contribute their take homes from last week.
Amen.
Amen.
Can I go first? Yes. I know I didn't raise my hand.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Pastor Ruth. For me, we last week we were talking about the Holy Spirit being, he also plays the role of a comforter. And one of the things that I really enjoyed as part of our discussion was when we were talking about the question that was raised that can the Holy Spirit use a human being to provide comfort, which and we were given examples that prove that indeed the Holy Spirit can use a human being to provide comfort on his behalf. But also I really enjoyed the follow-up question that you know, that was raised in the discussion about the Holy Spirit being able to use even non-believers to help believers. And I thought that was something that was, that part of the discussion was very powerful. And it was something that I could relate to, where in many instances I've seen unbelievers assisting me, but also I've been able to identify that the assistance was because of God who was helping me. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for that take home. Amen. That God, the Holy Spirit, is able to use others to be the ones that will also minister unto us in cases where we do need comfort. Others, what were your take homes from last week's session? Please feel free to contribute. I don't want to pick people today. I'm hoping that we will all be contributing. Mr. Kwidini, what is your take home from last week?
Hallelujah. I remember we discussed what to comfort is what it means to say that the Holy Spirit is the comforter, and we covered the aspect that does not necessarily mean the comfort of where the Holy Spirit comes and puts a hand on your shoulder and says it's going to be all right. It's the comforter which goes beyond that, which is also the provision of covering over yourself or your family members. That's the comfort that the Holy Spirit brings. It's the covering. I can't remember whether it was last week or this past, the week before, we also touched the ministration of angels. Was it last week?
It was last week.
Yes. We also discussed that since now the Holy Spirit has been freely given, and he ministers to us, and he ministers to us from within or through other people, men of God, do we still need ministration of angels? And that was quite an enlightening discussion. I'll just end there. I don't want to preempt it because I remember I raised the question. I'm just going to leave it for the next person.
Thank you so much, Mr. Kwidini. Others, I'll take one more contribution for the take home. Can Mrs. Zaita please give a contribution or take home from last week? I see Mrs. Shinyani is commenting as well, saying I enjoyed the discussion on angels as well within the chat section. Thank you for that contribution. I can see that Pastor G is typing. And my apologies for the error. I would just like to greet our esteemed men of God, Apostle Mocha, who is in our midst. Thank you so much, Apostle, for honoring us, being part of our cell group today, our Bible study today, and also for allowing God to use you to create such a platform for us so that we can continue to learn more about the Word and about the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I also want to greet our Pastor G as well. Thank you for your presence. We esteem you, our pastors. Amen. And I greet everyone else in the name of Jesus. Evangelist Kidini, we also greet you in Jesus' name. Sister Samantha, Mrs. Chinyani, and Mrs. Kidini, Sean, Miss Munenyasha, and Sister Delsha, you are welcome. Feel at home. Amen. So we are going to go straight into our discussion today. And from the past 2 weeks, just recap the other previous week that the Holy Spirit can fill. That was the topic that we looked at, and we got to discuss the what kind of feelings then does the Holy Spirit have. And then last week we then did have a discussion that was looking at the Holy Spirit as the comforter. And then today we are looking at the portion where we see within our study manual that the Holy Spirit has intellect. Amen. So that's where we are within our manual. Amen. Within our manual. If anyone can please project for me the, can share the manual, it will be much appreciated. Amen. For those that do have the manual and the phones or wherever, we can quickly open, and can I just have maybe one person who can volunteer to read for us the first statement that is there on the particular part where you say we're looking at where we see that the Holy Spirit is intellect. Amen. Can our Sister Samantha please read for us the first statement within the manual?
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
All right. I'm going to read, and our reading is as follows. The Holy Spirit has intellect, just we have, and God has. I'm not sure. That didn't sound grammatically correct to me.
Yes, didn't. I think there's missing words. I think it should have read, the Holy Spirit has intellect, just as we have, and God has. I think that should have been how it should have read. So thank you so much for that reading. So we see that here we're looking at the Holy Spirit's characteristic as someone who can think. So my first question is, what do we see when, or what comes to mind when we're looking at the word that there is intellect? What is intellect? What can we say is intellect? And then now we'll delve deep into looking at the Holy Spirit having intellect before we get to the scriptures that have been posted. What is intellect when we look at
what
it?
What is intellect when we look at what it?
Amen. Sister Delsha, what comes to mind when we see the phrase that we've just read, that the Holy Spirit has intellect?
Good evening. I think intellect is the ability to understand, to think, and to process information and things around us. It's our ability to think, I think.
All right. Thank you so much for that contribution. So it's our ability to think and to process things. Yes, Pastor G, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Pastor. Well, Just as Sister Deusha said, I'm just going to add that it speaks, intellect speaks of reasoning. It speaks of one's mental power. It speaks of intelligence. One's ability to reason, to engage, and in a more understanding or a reasonable manner. So,
Thank you so much, Pastor G, for your contribution. So Pastor G says that intellect speaks of intelligence, the ability to engage and to reason, more so in an understanding or a reasonable manner. And I also see that within the chat, Sister Samantha also is concurring to the same definitions we have gotten, that intellect is the ability to reason. So thank you that we have set the ground now and we are understanding in terms of what then is intellect, so that we are able to go in deeper and understand more in terms of what we have just read, that the Holy Spirit has intellect just as we have. Of the definitions that we have given, can we say that is truly applicable to the Holy Spirit, or we can maybe then derive a different definition that is custom made in relation to the Holy Spirit? This definition the same from the saints within the session today? Is this definition that we have given, is it the same that we can say when we look at the workings of the Holy Spirit in the Word of God or even in our lives? We also can say, yes, the Holy Spirit has the ability to think and to reason and to process things and to speak, and he has intelligence and has the ability to engage or reason in an understanding way, or he simply has the ability to reason. Can we attribute these characteristics that have come through from the definition to the Holy Spirit? Maybe if we can give a bit of scriptural reference, if we do not have, it's fine. We can give maybe from our own experiences.
Pastor G, yes, this end up.
Yes, please, Pastor G, go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Pastor, for such a powerful and engaging question. In terms of the definitions that we have or that we have presented of intellect, you'd see that most we gave the definitions mostly that are based on the dictionary-based definitions, which are usually based on our, you know, understanding of how a human being thinks or how a human being operates. But if we go to the book of Job, we are presented to a situation whereby Job argues his matter before the Lord, and is arguing his matter before the Lord, explaining why, trying to understand why all the things that had happened in his life had happened. We get to a point whereby we hear the Lord begin to respond to Job. And then there is one significant response that was given to Job, that where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? So now you get to see that the intellect of the Holy Spirit goes beyond just the reasoning or the thinking that we think this is what intellect is. Goes beyond the science, anything that we think we are exposed to. So in my understanding and in my reading of the Word of God, I get to realize that intellect, the manifestation of God's intellect, goes beyond human wisdom or human understanding of logic, of facts and issues that we see. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pastor G. Before we get any further with what you have given, thank you. That was a powerful elaboration. I'll just get straight to Mrs. Chinyani. Please go ahead. And then if you have any questions, please post them in the chat section. Mrs. Chinyani, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I just want to agree with what Pastor G has said. When you posed the question, you know, it got me thinking about how the Word of God says that God is the holder of all knowledge. I just want to refer to a scripture I'm trying to open up the scripture because I don't know it by head. Okay, it's all from right. The book of Psalm 144. Can I proceed?
Proceed.
Okay, Psalm 147, verse 5. Great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. So in terms of what we were talking about his intellect, meaning understanding, here we see that unlike us, where our understanding reaches a point of limitation, God's intellect or the Holy Spirit's understanding is infinite. It has no end. And we can see also that within, like what Pastor G was explaining, as part of him being having intellect, he has supernatural abilities that he has that go along with his power, you know, and who he is. So it's much more, my agreement with Pastor G is that it's much more than maybe what we can comprehend with our own human understanding, much, much more. And maybe in reading his word and taking a look from the point of creation, like what Pastor G was saying, we can maybe have an idea of what it means to say the Holy Spirit has intellect. It's very profound and very infinite. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Mrs. Chinyani and Pastor G, for those contributions. And from what I can relate to what you were just speaking on, you are just showing that the God's intellect, the intellect of the Holy Spirit, is different from man's intellect in the way that we have actually defined and given our understanding of the word intellect. So that intellect goes way, way deeper. And I love the scripture that you've also shared, because it shows us that the intellect of God is way, way deeper than what we as human beings would actually think or relate to in terms of our intellect, which might be limited in a way. And Pastor G's example, as he's giving it, which links to when we look at the issue of Job presenting his case, and we see the understanding of how God then came about with his own understanding and intellect, which was so different from how God understood that particular situation in terms, and we juxtaposition it with how Job was actually viewing that particular that if we have this diverse a kind of AI, like in a way the intellect, they kind of are different, how then as a believer do you then reconcile in terms of which intellect then is going to be at work in your life in a way? Because now we have this God's intellect, the Holy Spirit intellect, that is way massive as we have heard, and then we have this general intellect of just you being a human being, as we read in the portion of scripture that has been written, that just as us we have intellect, the Holy Spirit also has intellect. So are there cases where there can be a clash between these two intellects, and then how do we align them, us as believers that are walking maybe with the Holy Spirit, or do we get to be in a difficult position then of trying to move in the intellect of God, yet we have our own human intellect that is detecting us to go to a particular way. What are our thoughts as a from the same? What are our thoughts relating to that? Yes, Mrs. Shinyani.
Thank you. I don't mean to take over, but this question just got me excited. I just want to highlight that indeed, you know, our intellect, I think that was part of the question that you asked, can clash with God's intellect. I just want to give an example of the story of Jonah. Jonah was told by God, he was given a directive to go and do something, but he used his own reasoning to justify why he couldn't go and do what God had told him to do. So there we can see a clash of intellect, because God knew what was going to happen. He knew what he intended to happen, but Jonah was thinking about other things. He thought it couldn't work out that way. And we have many other examples in the Bible where, even from the story of Abraham and Sarah, when God tells Abraham that, you know, you're going to have a child, Sarah laughs. And that was a clash of intellect, because in her own thinking, she thought, oh, this is impossible. How can I have a child now as an old woman? So indeed, they can be circumstances where our intellect clashes with God's intellect, and things end up not going the way that we want. In both stories, you can see with Sarah, she ended up giving Abraham someone else to take as a wife and to have a child, which was not part of God's plan. With Jonah, we end up seeing him trying to flee and then ending up being swallowed by a fish. The thing is, at the end of it all, to avoid that clash, we have to yield to the superior intellect, which is God's intellect. It's much, much more superior than ours. And when he gives a direction, we have to yield to that, knowing that he is the all-knowing God, and that his understanding, as we have said, is infinite, and that he is a powerful God. Amen.
Amen. Wow. Amen. Powerful, powerful, powerful. Examples there that we're hearing from Mrs. Shinyani. Eye to eye, if I may say. All right, as we are still in this discussion, I'll leave it over to Mr. Kidini and we'll come back and deliberate. Yes, Mr. Kidini, sir, please go ahead.
Thank you, Pastor Ruth. Mrs. Shinyani, that was profound. That was profound. It got me moving off my seat. I just want to also add a little bit on what Mrs. Shinyani touched base on and introduce something in relation to God's intellect being opposed to men, with the same example which she gave about Jonah. But in so doing, I want to introduce the word wisdom there. The word wisdom. I associate God's intellect or man's intellect to wisdom, being wise, being able to see or decipher mysteries. And if you allow me, let's just quickly go through to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 19. I'm still on the same train of thought as Mrs. Shinyani. I'll read from the NLT. It says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. As the scriptures say, he traps the wise in the snare of their own cleverness." Then the NIV says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness." So meaning there's a huge difference. And as Mrs. Shinyani has rightfully said, we need to be careful to yield to the Holy Spirit, so that we don't get led by our own humane wisdom, but we are led by the wisdom of God. As the word is said there, he catches us in the wisdom of our own craftiness. When we try to be clever with God, he will catch you in your cleverness. And the wisdom of God is mightier. It might look as foolish to me, a man, but to him is the ultimate wisdom. That's what I wanted to contribute. I've got so much more that I'll contribute with scriptures, but I'll end here. I'll come back again.
Thank you so much, Mr. Kwidini. And that's a powerful actual verse that you've posted there. I'm just going to also top it up with what Sister Samantha said in the chat, that amen, I agree with Pastor, that is with Pastor G. In addition, 1 Corinthians 2:10 as well, and I think I'll add it to what you've just spoken about, Mr. Kwidini. Apostle Paul teaches that the Holy Spirit searches everything, even the death of God, and in 11, that no one can comprehend the Spirit of God except the Spirit of God, which just goes in deep to show that the intellect of God is way deeper. And I like the aspect that you're bringing in, Mr. Kwidini, that sometimes what we see with our eye, in a way, is different from what God says. And sometimes that becomes foolish to the world, in a way, when they see it, when they perceive it, because they do not have an understanding of the depth of how God's intellect works, and how it moves, and the power that it carries therein. And Pastor G is also saying that his intellect is not just logical or factual, but it demonstrates insight and foresight, whereby his presentation of information aligns you with the intended will, purpose, and plan of God to us who believe. Hallelujah. And I do believe that this is actually very, very true, in essence, as Pastor G is saying, because if I am also to add in an example, we see within the Word of God that, please remind me, I'm forgetting the name, that a king that had to shoot the three deaths, shot three deaths of arrow after an instruction that came to him. And you know what? He limited himself with the amount of arrows that he shot, because within that particular instant, he did not get a deeper revelation to know that, well, with God's intellect, even the shooting of an arrow can be of something of great significance. So in a way, it just goes into show that what Mr. Kwidini is saying and what Pastor G is saying, that the intellect, the foolishness of the world, one would never think that a shooting of arrows could actually guarantee a person kingdomship or not, but in this particular instance it did. So those I just cannot understand. And I will leave this time to Apostle to go in, and then we'll come back and I'll continue with this discussion. Hallelujah. Over to you, Apostle. Amen.
Hallelujah. Can you hear me?
Apostle, we cannot hear you.
Give me a moment.
I can hear you.
Yeah.
Nothing beside. We can't hear you.
All right.
I can't hear also.
All right, as we wait for Apostle.
All right.
They're powerful contributions right there. I just wanted to end also, if we open our Bibles, in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. From verse 25. Let me just open it. Okay, verse 25. The Bible says, this is because the foolish thing that has its source in God is wiser than men, and the weak thing that springs from God is stronger than men. For simply consider your own co-brethren, not many of you were considered to be wise according to the humane estimates and standards. Not many influential and powerful, not many high, not many noble. No, for God selected deliberately, chose what in the world is foolish to put the wise to shame, and the world calls weak to put the strong to shame. And what the calls weak to put the strong to shame. And God also selected deliberately, chose what in the world is lowborn and insignificant and branded and treated with contempt, even the things that are nothing, that he might depose and bring to nothing the things that are. So you can see that God uses the foolish things. I like it when Isaiah puts it, he says, his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. Where we end, that's where he begins. So he says God is taking the foolish things, things that in this world we don't regard as anything that is meaningful. Those are the things that God is taking. Those are the things that God is bringing as wisdom. Things that we as men look down upon. Those are the very things that God is using to either change the world, change somebody's life. Imagine in the book of Judges, where God says I'm thinking of his name, the one that God chose, and he said that you are mighty man of valor, to Gideon. He said to Gideon, you are going to go and fight an army, but what I require of you is that you select a lesser number of soldiers. I mean, Gideon took thousands upon thousands, and God only wanted to use 300. I mean, it doesn't make sense in the natural. That is being weak, rather, in the natural. But here, I'm saying God takes the foolish things of the world. That's foolishness. In the standards of the world, you cannot go to war with an army that's hello. Yes, can you hear me? Yes, so I'm saying in the 21st century setup, just think about the story of Elijah. If God would send Elijah to the widow of Zarephath, and God would say to the widow, I want you to feed Elijah. There goes Elijah. And the widow says to Elijah, I have only what I have for me and my son to eat and to die. I have only what I have for me. I don't have anything much more. So I'm just thinking, if it was in the 21st century, people would be writing on Facebook, on WhatsApp, on Twitter, complaining about why is this man of God doing that. But it is just a sign to show that the mind of God and our mind is not the same. God is choosing the lady that is the least, the lady that is nothing, close to nothing, says, I have what I have for me and my child to eat and to die. But God is saying to Elijah, that widow is going to take care of you. And Elijah is going to that widow and say, go and make bread for me so that I may eat. And the widow is saying, I don't have anything. He said, make for me. If I eat, whatever remains, you shall also eat. It doesn't actually make a proper intellectual output. I mean, that line of thought is not
really in regards to what we consider as somebody who is thinking. So you when you begin to read the stories in the Bible, you realize that God defies the laws of nature. God defies what is common sense to us so that he can bring another line of thought, so that he can bring another way of doing things. We think that things should happen A, B, C, D, and E because of A, D, E, and F. And God is saying, I'll start from Z coming to A. Why? Because my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. I take the foolish things of this world so that I can bring my wisdom to you. I take the weak things of God so that I can depose the strong, so that I can confound the proud. Why? Because that is how God operates. So the Holy Spirit is an intellect, and the way that he thinks is not the same as we think. And if we can but yield to him, I'm telling you, our lives will be far much greater. We'll be flying, you'll be rising higher and higher. The moment that you just yield to his ways, although they might not make sense to you, when you yield to him, you will start to see things in a different way, and your life will never, ever be the same.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Apostle, for that further explanation. Amen. And that is powerful. Amen. And we kind of constantly getting back that contribution that was given by Mrs. Finian initially, that there needs to be a yielding. There needs to be a yielding. And in most of the examples as well that we are seeing, we're getting an element of also they having had been obedient to the intellect of God, having yielded yourself and then obeying whatever has been told for you to do by the Holy Spirit. And in those cases, you yielded, the people part yielded different results that were of a great nature relating to their particular situations. Why? Because they yielded and they obeyed what the word of God had said and what the Holy Spirit or God's intellect was speaking to them. So what I want to ask generally to the saints tonight and to the congregation, that do we have in our own capacity experiences or cases where maybe we experienced either a negative impact or a positive impact, but because we yielded to the intellect of God? So if I'm saying a negative, maybe we had the experience of Jonah, that you were swallowed one way or the other by the fish because you didn't go and follow maybe what God has said, depending on what his intellect has said. Or maybe in the case that encounter where you obeyed, as the woman gave her last bread, a cake, to the man of God, and for us to have examples where we can share within among us each other, so we can see the different impacts that we have of yielding to the intellect of the Holy Spirit and maybe of not yielding to the intellect of the Holy Spirit. So you might say, "Ah, Pastor, you know what? I was instructed to give 100 rand in church, and you know what? I said, ah, I'm not going to give it. And then when you didn't give it, you lost it somehow, and you're like, I don't know what happened. I just dropped it and I don't know where it was." Like, I want those kind of experiences so that we can share, because this is the way we grow when we do have experience. And if you are one who obeyed the intellect of God, maybe they say, do this, and maybe you were tasked to give and you did. And when you gave, you got the results immediately, a bumper harvest, and you have a testimony to share. I want us to open up and to give those experiences in this particular session before we get into our next segment. Amen. Thank you so much. I see Sister Delta has just raised your hand. Over to you, please.
Amen. I'm going to give a negative impact of not listening to the intellect of God. I remember this time years ago, I was using public transport to get into town. And just as I was getting into town, I felt the strong urge to pray in the spirit. But at the time, I thought to myself, I'm in public transport. I don't want to do that. Why should I do that? Maybe I'll do that when I get back home. And I just chose to ignore, although the urge was very strong. I kept feeling so strongly that I can't dismiss it for later. I have to do it currently, but at the time, I had so many excuses. As I got into town, long story short, I came back without my phone. My phone was stolen in town. And it's only that time after my phone had gotten stolen that I thought, oh, so this is why I was supposed to to pray in the spirit, because the spirit was warning me that something of the sort would come against me when I get in town. So yeah, that's an instance where I thought my reasoning of how I'm in public transport and I'm in town, why don't I do it when it's more convenient, did not profit me much, as much as it could have profited me to just obey, even if I had prayed in the spirit under the breath of my, you know, not necessarily to say, to do it loudly, but just to obey. So, yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for such a powerful contribution, a powerful testimony. And there we have it, like real lived experience of the impact of us not yielding to the intellect of the Holy Spirit. And imagine when she came back, she was like, "Dad, I just done it there and there," then that a particular thing wouldn't have happened. So thank you so much for sharing, so that we can have this particular experiences, and we can know that at times, yes, God is actually speaking to us, but sometimes our intellect is calculating, etc., and things really then don't go according to our the Holy Spirit ministering unto us. Amen. And our sister Samantha is also, and it's very important to obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. That's the yielding part, where even it is coming to us and it's way over our understanding, but when we follow it, we are guaranteed to be walking in the right path. And that's how the Holy Spirit actually speaks to us, because we remember when our man of God apostle was teaching us that at times we're thinking that he's going to come here as a loud banging voice and thunder and saying, "Oh, hey," and like that, but it comes in like just that simple prompting, as Sister Samantha is saying. And when it comes, then that our intellect then we have to yield to automatically surrender unto what the Holy Spirit says. Amen. I need other contributions from others there within the chat. Please, let's raise our hands. What can we give to say these are experiences that we had, either negative or positive, of our having seen God's intellect at work in our lives? I want to take at least one or two more people that can share, so as we will get ready to move to the next section. Amen, amen. Pastor G, can you please share for us a prompt to an experience of an intellect? All right, I'll come back to you, Pastor G. I'll take Mrs. Tinyani for now. Thank you, Mrs. Tinyani.
Thank you, Pastor Ruth. So I'll give a positive one, though I also have many negative ones. So there was a time when I had my 50 rand note, and I don't know where I got that money, but it was all that I had some years ago. And then it was a Sunday, I was going to church, and I just felt compelled to, you know, to give my 50 rand. And I thought, this is, you know, I can do something with this money. And this is all that I have. So in church, you know, I just took the money and I put it in the basket. And then after church, as I got into the taxi to go home, the taxi was empty, and I went straight to the back seat and I sat there. Lo and behold, on the seat, a 50 rand note was there. So,
wow!
You know, I just said, "This is God." You know, I had my 50 rand, the last that I had, in my pocket, and I gave it in church. And then when I went into the taxi, it was practically empty, then there was a 50 rand not just there. Amen.
Thank you for sharing. Imagine. Hold on to that 50 rand. You wouldn't have gotten another 50 rand. And I'm definitely sure that as you receive the harvest for that giving, more was also added to you as a result. Over to you, Pastor G, quickly as we'll get ready to move to our next question before we round off.
Hey, thank you very much, Pastor. Well, I have many examples that I can give, but I will just give a recent one. Yeah, the recent one was on there was a certain seed that the Holy Spirit just said to me, you have to do this one. And I'm thinking it was about 1,000 rand. And I'm thinking, well, now with all that I've exhausted, where am I going to get 1,000? I obeyed, and the day I paid up that the rest of the money, that very same day, a certain client of mine from long time ago just deposited 1,000, the very same 1,000, and said, I know, I just thought of you, and thanks for helping me, and the person deposited 1,000.
Wow.
You see? And the moment, yeah. So and the moment I finished, the Holy Spirit said to me, now that you are done, I'm doing a new thing in your life. And I'm like, huh? What is happening here? So while I'm in the split second of thinking what is happening, the next thing, someone has deposited 1,000 rand. And then the next day, someone was sending me a scripture which says, yes, it's time to pray. Pray. Sorry for that. So the next morning I then received someone just sent me an SMS from Norway with a scripture which was indicating that behold, I do a new thing in your life. And I'm like, so this thing is, all these things are just happening in a very short space period of time after simply obeying the instructions. So I got to realize and to understand that, yes, in as much as we try to reason a lot of things, but it's not by the intellect of the Holy Spirit is different from our intellect, whereby we reason things out. You see? But his reasoning is not, as the scripture it said, that the things of God, they are foolishness to them that do not believe. So you see that his reasoning is based on the insight and the foresight of what God wants to do in your life and what he's about to bring about in your life. And if you don't understand that, or if you don't learn to listen to his guidance and to his wisdom, it becomes problematic to how we are going to operate and follow in his principles and in his wisdom and in his guidance for our lives. Because after all, he's the one who teaches us all things. He's the one who guides us in all truth. So part and parcel of his guidance in all truth is even in those simple or things that seem not to be logical or understandable to the human reason. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you so much, Pastor G, for that. What a powerful testimony where just by simple following of the intellect of God, of our relating to a financial increase and imagine sometimes how with our own reasoning capacity we withhold maybe the more blessings of God and the more opportunities and things that God has set for us simply because we have withheld and we have not listened to his we have a direct impact of our lives. And juxtapositioning that to how we think is our own. We, with our intellect, we are looking at the now and we are putting that and sees you as a father of many nations even before you've actually gotten to that place, and it begins to propel you to get to a place where you are
moving and you are going to partake of that.
Very powerful. So the last question that I am going to ask of you is this before we get to Apostle. In fact, maybe let me give Apostle this time to just share. All right, I'll give you Apostle at the end. Okay, one last question that I want to ask is that bit. So if you as a person have the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit has intellect, which is he knows all things, and if we read in our manual, we see that the second verse says that in 1 Corinthians 2:10 that but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit, and the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God, for whom among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit with him, and the same way no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And even Romans 8:27, he now who you searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Linking these particular scriptures that we see within our manual and all the other scriptures that have been given here, that the foolishness of God, that the foolishness, the things of God are foolishness to the world. And then the particular scripture that was spoken of by Apostle, that his thoughts are not our thoughts and even his ways are different from our ways. Can we then maybe come to just a brief discussion relating to intelligence? If our God is has intellect and his intellect is superior, is there then a place for a child of God maybe to be a dunderhead, if I may say that's the word we used to use? I don't know how to maybe put in another English phrase and to replace that one, but for us to maybe not excel in anything that we do when we have him as the intellect, especially if I'm one that's working with the Holy Spirit. What are our thoughts regarding that question? Just two people as we leave time to give to the man of God. Yes, Mr. Sidini, over to you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't believe if you have the Holy Spirit as a child of God, you should struggle with things that need intellect. I will not only reference that scripture that you have put there in the Bible, but I'll give a testimony of my own. About 8 years ago, I had an examination. It had only about 4 questions, and you had to answer all of them. Even if you get all the 3 ones correct, but if you don't at least score some point on the 4th one, they don't even mark your paper. So there was a 4th question which was very difficult, and everyone was like stuck in the exam room. And for 5 minutes I didn't know what to do. And I started praying. I just started praying in tongues back then. I started praying in tongues, praying in tongues, praying in tongues. This is in an exam room, like a final examination. Then I waited for about 5 minutes while I was in prayer. I closed my eyes, opened my eyes, looked at the question again. Then I started just writing. So everyone was nervous when the results finally came about 3 months later. And to my surprise, I got 100% in that examination. And I didn't know the question. I did not know the question.
Wow.
And this is not a question where you can put like points and you can explain and stuff. This was a mathematical problem. It's either you know or you don't know with formulas. So I can testify that I don't want to only refer to what the scripture says, that he who has got the Spirit of God, he searches all things. That part, he says all things, meaning the Spirit knows all things, anything. I'm not only referencing the Bible, but I'm referencing myself. I've seen it a lot of times in my life. So back to that scripture which you have given us there, which says, but God has revealed to us by the Spirit, by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things. Before I even go to the last part of that verse, all things, meaning anything in this life. Then it also says, even the deep things of God, meaning also, if you want the mysteries of God now, not concerning life, like mathematical problems that I've given you, or life complications and stuff like that. Other than that, even if you want to know the deep mysteries of God, that God, I want to know you. How do I do this? I want to know more of the prophetic. I want to know more of this area of spirituality. God can enlighten you, or the Holy Spirit can enlighten you in those things. But that first part, all things. So to answer your question, with what I've also just said, that if you've got the Holy Spirit as a believer, you should not struggle. You should not struggle. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Wow, that's powerful. Imagine your Holy Spirit sitting down, taking charge of you and writing on your behalf. Amen. And that's, wow, powerful, powerful testimony. And I also would concur, there were other exams, really. I would come out also in my undergrad and stuff, scratching my head that, I'm seeing a channel O here on this exam, but only to be surprised that, wow, I actually did pass. And I know for a fact that it wasn't me who would have written. I would have written, but the Holy Spirit was writing on top of my handwriting to cause and bring about a change and a miracle that will come to me. So I also concur with you, Mr. Kidini, that when we have the Holy Spirit, then all things, then should that intellect of God should also begin to work in me. Yes, we do not have channel O's. We refuse to have channel O's, Brother Barnabas, but we should have 100% and cum laude, because that same intellect, as long as I have the Holy Spirit, I have to be connected to it as well, and so that it can begin to work in me. Amen. So that I can, sorry for that. Apostle is talking to me and I'm losing my train of thought. Is anyone else with any contribution or question that they have from the floor? Any questions that you might want? Yes, Mr. Pidini, and everyone wanted to study with you, saying this guy receives dreams of examinations. Wow. Anointed dreams, definitely. Yes, please go ahead, Sister Delsha.
Okay. I'm just remembering how recently I was having a discussion with people at church, and someone asked me if I'm enjoying the job that I'm doing right now, and I just told them, not anymore. And they said, oh, I'll send you a link of of a company that's advertising for a job. So when they sent me that link, I thought to myself, I don't think I've ever done this before. You know, what do I write in my CV and all that? And I almost wanted to just ignore it. Until I just thought, I don't think this is coincidence that I had to talk to these people at this time and they'll send me this link. Let me just pray about it. And, you know, after I prayed about it, the Holy Spirit brought to me the remembrance that, yeah, you might not have had this title written as this particular title, but when you did that internship, you actually did this work that is needed in this job application. And I started to see, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I had so many things now to write in my CV. And even as I was writing that CV, the words that I was using, I was telling myself that, you know what, I don't know what's going on, but I know for a fact that this is not me saying all this. This is the Holy Spirit giving me the words that I'm writing in the CV. And they did respond really to my application, which to me, they haven't fully given me the job yet. It's still the process. But the fact that the Holy Spirit brought to my remembrance the fact that I have done something that I, at first value, I thought, I've never done this. There's just no way I would apply for a job like this. And even for him to help me write a CV, to me, that was the testimony of how, you know, the Holy Spirit is so involved in our everyday life and wants to walk with us, to help us in things that we probably would think, this is about my mind, or this is just about, I have to do it intellectually. I don't necessarily have to, you know, if you haven't done this job, you haven't done this job. You don't necessarily have to seek the Holy Spirit. That's what the natural mind would probably think. But the minute I just thought, oh, well, let me just, you know, pray about it. Let me just ask the Holy Spirit for guidance. He helped me write a CV. He helped me remember things that I ordinarily thought they never happened before. So, yeah, that's just one of the testimonies that I can give.
Thank you so much for that sharing. So we're just getting more and more of a sense that there is a lot where the Holy Spirit intellect can actually work in different areas of our lives. Who would have thought that ye would be able to assist someone to actually write a CV, a very good CV? We actually limit sometimes those particular things to say, well, this is the area where him, the Holy Spirit, can actually, we can say, oh, come in, Holy Spirit, and have your way here. But other things like, ah, no, let's leave him out, etc. But I like this example that you're giving, Chelsea, that we can see that the Holy Spirit is at work in every aspect of our lives, in every area, coming down to writing, which means even when you're writing your thesis, you're writing any application, whatever it is, the Holy Spirit can be there to write with you. And his intellect, if you allow him, will then begin to write on your behalf. And whatever that you words that are needed, appropriate words for that particular opportunity, him, the Holy Spirit, will then give them to you, and then you will write them. Hallelujah. What a powerful a testimony. What a powerful example. Brother Barnabas, you haven't been here. The Lord sharing had got you. So we just want to hear your word. I know you were in earlier and then you left because of Lord sharing. We just want to hear your voice tonight, and just anything that you can tell us relating to the intellect of the Holy Spirit. That was the essence of our discussion tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm sure I gave a testimony a while ago when I was saying that there were multiple exams in my undergrad where I, even up to this day, I don't remember what I wrote, but I know that I came out of the exam and I passed. So one in particular comes to mind. There's a time when I was in my third year and I missed like half of the semester. I missed 2 months of lectures, and because I had undergone an operation. Then when I came back to campus, I just found myself getting marks and results as if it was someone who was there the entire time, and that to me just reflects how, you know, the Holy Spirit enables you to remember stuff, you know, that even stuff that you may have not learned, you figure it out. And, you know, even some mathematical equations that that are very, very confusing, you just find yourself, I've written like 2 pages and it's the correct answer. So that just reflects how
amazing God is, and how, you know, he can really aid you in any situation. He's not limited to just, you know, God, I need money, God, I need this, but it's actually every single thing. Like, even if you're walking in the street, if you really listen to him, he will tell you which street to walk in. Like in the evening there, you hear one day that, oh, yesterday someone was robbed at this street. Mm-hmm. But then to you, you'd have had the prompting that, hey, just take this path. And that's, you know, God directing you and leading you. Yeah, that's what I...
Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Barnabas, for that. And that goes on to cement that he, the Holy Spirit, intellect is at work in every area. So as a takeaway from this, that let's not limit him by our own understanding, but let's yield to him and be obedient and begin to walk in what he will prompt us to be moving in our day-to-day lives. From today, whatever, even if it seems small, just involve him, the Holy Spirit, in it. Amen. So that his intellect begins to work in you. Hallelujah. So there is a question that we have from Sister Samantha there. How do we differentiate between our own reasoning and that of the Holy Spirit? How do we differentiate? I would mean also in line with what we are saying, that we're looking at our own intellect and the reasoning of the Holy Spirit. Anyone who maybe would want to answer this question? How do we differentiate between our own reasoning and that of the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
Amen.
I can maybe try and attempt to answer when it comes to giving in the house of the Lord. So, you know, many times you get these promptings to give something to the house of the Lord. And what I can say is that there is no way that the devil or your flesh can influence you to do something that is good for the house of the Lord. So maybe if you just evaluate some of the thoughts, or, you know, something that moves you to do something for the house of the Lord, I can safely qualify that as something that is coming from the Holy Spirit and not of the flesh, because the flesh does not want to do anything right. The flesh is, you know, seeks fleshly things that satisfy the flesh. But when you get things, promptings of such a nature that would benefit the body of Christ, then you can safely qualify that as something that comes from the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure if I've partially, you know, attempted to answer that question.
Thank you so much, Brother Barnabas. So from Brother Barnabas is looking at, when we read the Word of God, it tells us we're looking at that the flesh is enmity with God. So if you are being influenced then to do something that is for the furtherance of the kingdom of God, then the likelihood is that you are moving within the reasoning or the intellect of the Holy Spirit. Yes, Adelcia, please go ahead.
Oh, I wanted to add on to what Brother Barnabas has said, to say by saying the Holy Spirit will always tell you things that are in alignment with what the Word of God says. There is never a part that the Holy Spirit is going to tell you to go rob a bank, to go and be a witch for the kingdom or something. Well, we do have that one incident where the prophet of God was told to marry a harlot, but more often than not, in fact, almost always, the Holy Spirit is not almost always, always the Holy Spirit is always going to lead you to what you can verify in scripture. That your flesh, though, your own intellect is always trying to move you away from the word of God, is trying to look for convenience, is trying to look for how you can enjoy yourself in terms of, you know, on the earth. It is really seldom does the flesh guide you to do anything that has any spiritual significance or that is in the word of God, because the word does tell us that our flesh is constantly fighting against the spirit of God or our spirit. So we can't, we can never truly have our flesh telling us to do things that are spiritual. I think this is one of the ways that you can tell that what's the underlining motive for this. Is this thing that I'm thinking or wanting to do or pursue really more to do with God and the kingdom and you know, my spirit, or it is more to do with my flesh?
Amen. Thank you so much. Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Delphia, for that. So it's just more of cementing as well what our Brother Barnabas has said. So we don't want those that will say the intellect of God is sending me to rob a bank and commit, et cetera, as we have learned tonight. Amen. I'll leave this time to Apostle so he can also answer this question and also contribute. He had initially had raised his hand. But before we just do that, I'm going to just read what Brother Barnabas said. How do we differentiate? I think also God is always constantly confirming his will to his people. Amen. That's also another contribution from our Brother Barnabas. All right. Mr. Quidini, what's your take on this before we end the session? I suppose Mr. Kidini might not be readily available because he also has load shedding. Just he falls within the same block as we do. All right. Okay. So thank you so much, Saints, for joining for tonight's session and for contribution and the different things that we have learned. I, for one, have learned a lot tonight relating the intellect of God and how to relate, to yield, etc. So thank you so much, everyone, for coming. We're going to just take this time, just where we are, to unmute and get time of prayer. Be more open and conscious of your prompting when you speak to me, that you touch me and you use me to hear what you want to know, even regarding my future, my present, or anything that relates to me. So where we are, let's just begin to pray before we close. Amen. For the next 2 minutes, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We worship you tonight. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We can unmute where we are. In the name of Jesus, Father, we lift up our eyes. We lift up our hearts unto you, Holy Spirit, that you may touch us, you may take over. In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, we desire to yield unto you, that your intellect may have its way up in our lives. In the name of Jesus, that we may be open to your promptings, that we may be open to hearing us, even you speak and minister unto us, that whatever we do, we may be directed by your will. We may be buried directed by your intellect, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray tonight in Jesus' name, in this spirit, even as we have learned, we pray that it has fallen on good ground and on good soil over each and every person that had, in the name of Jesus, and it will produce a bumper harvest
in Jesus' mighty name, that where they go, they will continue to remember this word, and that Holy Spirit, you continue to be at work even in the in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. As we depart to our different homes, to do our different activities tonight, Father, we pray for the grace of God and the love of God, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit to constantly be with us. And we thank you that God, even miracle signs and wonders are taking place in our lives. Whoever is here that is sick, we command and we speak healing over their body right now in the name of Jesus. Over our family members, our mothers, our sisters, our brothers, every relative, we are commanding healing in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we thank you for your grace and for your protection and your covering tonight. We declare, we speak that we are covered by angels, ministering angels that surround us even as we go about our business. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Father, we thank you and we give you all the glory and all the honor in the name of Jesus. And all the saints say, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, everyone. We have come to the end of our session. We'll see you next week for our Bible study session. Please, Brother Barnabas, you can just post the list for us in the chat section so that the people can see the schedule. Thank you so much. You have a blessed night.
Good night.
Amen. God bless you.
Good night.